Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Lexi and Rue off of Euphoria. I don't care what y'all say. Lexi could either be ace or she could she said she wanted to hook up with someone, so she's not ace. So shout out to Rue and Lexi. They're like in game. She's over here like peeing in cups for her. Like that's the real OTP stand forever.
Bob Ross for life, yo. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's goody? What's happening?
What's up?
I'm excited. Hey.
That song. God, I honestly feel like I'm gonna be miserable for the next hour because it's so hot in my room right now.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. I don't know how y'all do it in LA. Y'all really be just wilding with like an open window and a fan. Like, bless, because I know it gets hot like 3 times a year over there. So I'm so sorry.
I wish I had my window and my fan, but I'm sacrificing for the audio right now. So, you know,
these are fucking facts. I'm so fucking excited, and y'all should be excited too, because we finally have merch.
Well, we had merch already. We updated our merch.
We got more merch. We got sweaters. We got coffee mugs. We got t-shirts. You know, we slanging it all. Make sure you buy one for your abuela, your tia. Make sure you can piss off all your family members when you're in public. And, you know, just rep us as hard as you can everywhere you go.
Yeah, I like the designs. I like that there's new colors. Who knew that blue would be so suiting with the pinks and stuff? It looks right. Pretty damn good. There's like long sleeve shirts. That's really what I'm waiting for. Once I finally get around to buying some of our own merch, I'm gonna buy the long sleeves. But it's so hot right now that I'm like, I have no reason to be doing this.
Yeah, I'm like staring at that hoodie like I'm gonna do it. I don't give a fuck because it's super cold in my job. Like it stays at like I think they keep it at 50 degrees in my job, so fuck it, I'm gonna buy that sweater.
Damn, lucky. I'm a
well, I mean, maybe next paycheck. I'm buy. My mom said she was gonna buy a t-shirt and wear it at the old folks home she works at.
Oh no, I meant you're lucky because of the AC thing, but
oh lord.
There's also like mugs and stickers, and if you have other requests, there's other things we could possibly add on to there. But I'm stoked on the stickers because there's a concha and there's a cafecito sticker, and they say CYC on them, and I think they're super cute.
They are. So shout out to our like graphic designer, our homie Desiree. Shout out to you.
We'll link her on the website.
We'll link her
at some point in a few weeks, probably.
Go support. She like does a whole other type of art other than just helping out your girls over here. She like mainly focuses in painting like black women. It's like super fucking lit. It's beautiful. So yeah.
Yeah.
Go buy our merch.
Yeah. Yeah. Her design, and of course our OG Cabronas y Chingonas design is on the back of most of these shirts and hoodies and stuff like that. I think all of them actually. So
yeah,
we still have the OG on there. And if you guys are wondering where the fuck to get this stuff, we have it linked on our bio on CYC Podcast on Instagram. We have it in our Twitter feed. We have it probably on our Facebook, facebook.com/CYC Pod. And we all have it on our website, cabronasychingonas.com. And we have it linked everywhere, and we'll keep linking it probably. And I might link it in these show notes, so just maybe look in the description of wherever you're listening to this episode, and that's where you can get it.
Yes, yes. Check out them notes. Check out our website. It's all there for you. But yeah, so what the fuck? What have you been watching lately? How you been? What you been watching?
I've been watching so much stuff. One little problematic piece called House has retaken my interest, but... but other than that, last week I ended up binging this animated series called 12 because I really wanted something like light to have on in the background while I just did my thing. And it ended up being, and it's not like super canon, but it pretty much is, that the main character is like this tomboyish girl who's 12 and she has the biggest crush on this other girl. And it, like, every single time she sees her, she, like, leaves the room. Like, she can't stand it. Like, that's how bad this crush is.
Oh, my God. That's on brand.
She's like, I'm out.
All queer folk.
I'm done. I can't even be in your presence. Like, her whole face turns red. It's actually adorable.
That's too fucking real. Representation fucking matters.
That's some real shit. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's real. So,
gay cartoons in 2019 was goody.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, by the way.
Oh, that's so awesome. You know what else I saw on Netflix? I was telling you off air. Rocco's Modern Life has a queer, not queer, a trans character in there. And it's fucking dope because of all the things I thought I would see a trans, like, frog, that was, like, the last place. So I feel, like, super happy. And it was a really, like, it wasn't, like, an automatically accepted thing either. Not all the frogs accepted her, right? But, like, Rocco never, like, misgendered her once. Yeah, it was super fucking amazing and great representation. I think it's, like, a huge step forward for, like, kids. But I don't know if kids are watching Rocco's Modern Life in 2019, right?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like they would.
I hope they do, honestly. It's, like, I don't know. It was too real. Like, it was all about anxiety and, like, being, like, in this time. And I fuck with it. I'm obsessed. It was so good.
That's dope. Oh, man. I feel like we're kind of we've been scrounging for, like, different content because HBO had, like, everything going at the same time. Big Little Lies, Years and Years, which we continue to read about. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today, and as well as Los Spookies, which we already covered.
Ay.
But, like, all of them came to the end, like, at the same time.
They did all end at the same time. It was stressful.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck am I going to watch? I'm watching House again. Like, that's how desperate I am. But they did give
I'm
us...
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
they did give us a Black Lady sketch show.
Hey! And I know if... I mean, have you seen the sketch of the basic ball?
Everybody felt seen in that shit.
When they said awkward in the body, I was like, work.
It was like a skit on based on Pose, for those of you who haven't seen it. And it's like the basic... Yes. Edition of it where it's like instead of like slaying, you're like being the basic gay that you are. It's great.
Oh no, these were the categories I wrote them down. They were like essential to like our queerdom. Like the first one was clinical depression.
God.
Fuck. And then you know what he said? He says you are tired and you are unmedicated to the gods. And I was like, oh fuck.
Oh, God.
Same. I totally unmedicated, not going to be anytime soon because this shit's expensive. The next one was barbecue daddies, and I was like, oh, I literally dress like this, like everywhere.
I was like,
this is a
I was fact. Looking at it, I was like, this is basic, this is goals to me, but okay.
Like barbecue daddies was just wearing like a Hawaiian shirt and like
shorts
or like pants, yeah. And like comfy shoes, and I was like, they were arguing and says, let's argue about routes to work. And like and it was another one, it was like, he doesn't start cooking until you show up, so the food won't be ready till like fucking nighttime. And I was like, I feel that as well as a late cooker. And then the last one, I think the second to last, was running errands. And I was like, oh shit, don't have your eyebrows on. I love it. And then, you know, of course, awkward in the body, which is my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you be, Maita?
I don't
barbecue daddy.
I don't know, honestly, not sure. I'd have to rewatch it. I think it depends on the day.
I'm for sure always like a awkward in the body barbecue daddy. Like that's me. Like
a hybrid.
I'm a hybrid. I'm like, I can't move my body and I'm a barbecue daddy. It's lit out here.
Dang.
Shout out. Apparently yesterday was like National Butch Day, or like appreciation of a butch day.
On a Sunday?
I was like on a Sunday.
Random.
On the I know. Gloria didn't post nothing about me. I was hurt.
Okay, calm down.
I'm gonna post myself. I appreciate my own butch self. Okay. But anyways, shout out to HBO for giving us a Black Lady sketch show. Honestly, there's so many queer writers. Lena Waithe is like guest starring. It's amazing and beautiful and some of the best fucking shit I've ever seen.
I just recently binged all of Key and Peele recently. I see, like, I see an inspiration there. Like, they're for sure inspired by taking these, like, real-world examples of this very, like, specific group of people and then, like, taking it to an absurd level. Like, they do the same thing as kind of Key and Peele sort of do, but they definitely have their own original twist on everything. And it's interesting, and I think it's finding its footing, but I think it has so much potential, too.
Yeah, like, it's, the first episode was, like, okay, kind of getting there, but it's definitely falling into like this really good like it's forming itself, you know, like this last episode with like joining a gang and the benefits, the 401k.
It's so good.
I was like, yo, word, they got how much PTO? They got like 6 months maternity leave. Like, I'm finna go join this gang.
And
like,
they it's lit out won't here. Use the maternity term anymore. I don't
know. No.
That's cute. Yeah, but
love it.
Basically, go give it a chance. I think people are being hard on it, but give it some time. We'll see what happens.
No, I think what they're falling prey to is the same thing that like One Day at a Time does, is like when you name something like a black lady sketch show and then like a black person doesn't agree, like it becomes that problem of like, oh, well, that's not my experience very specifically. And it's like, no, we're not trying to do that. Like, we're just trying to write shit.
Yeah, that can be pretty annoying with internet culture, where it's like, well, it doesn't completely fit my mold. It's like, yeah, nothing is, unless you write it. Like,
yeah, and then even then, you're always gonna make someone unhappy. But it's like, that's not the point of this show. Right. So that's why I hope people get over themselves and just enjoy it, because it's fucking amazing to have that many black women and that many queer black women in a room writing. That shit's fucking dope, and I want more of it.
And I love Quinta so much.
She's my short queen. Dude, so apparently, just like coming in, shout out to Library Bay for sending it to me. Apparently, Gabby Rivera is writing a new comic book series, and she's calling it a love letter to queer kids everywhere. So I'm excited. It's called BB Free. So I fuck it. I'm into it. There's like a like thick, like it looks like an Afro Latina, like, or Afro Latinx person. It looks fucking lit. Like, they're just on the run from something. I don't know. Fractured States of America. I don't know. I'm into this. I just heard about it right now. So I'm excited for whatever is to come. Whatever Gabby Rivera does, I'm into it. So
yeah. And she, I mean, for those who don't know, she wrote the book Julieta Takes a Break, I believe it's called.
Julia Takes a Breath, I think.
Oh, there you go. And then she also wrote the comic series for America Chavez called, I think it's just called America, a while back. So that's exciting.
Yeah, anything they do is like fucking exciting. I'm here for it.
Sure.
But yeah, so yeah, jumping into what we're going to be talking about today, I don't, you know, I think we'd always thought about these two things together originally. Like, I when I saw Euphoria, I immediately thought of Skins. So
yeah, we're gonna talk about Euphoria and Skins. So
yes.
Yeah, I think as we usually do on the show, we will start with the older piece first and go into the recent one towards the end. So let's get into it. Skins is like kind of iconic, kind of crazy.
It's iconic because it's fucking insane. And I want your input on this, of course, because it's like fucking Skins. Oh my God. So if y'all, I kind of watched Skins back in like 2010, I believe, but it originally came out in 2007. It's a show that had 6-7 seasons, roughly, from 2007 to 2013. Watching it in 2019 was like mad wild and problematic now. Like, of course, right? Anything that's aged that way and was never made to be like non-problematic, that shit was pretty wild now in 2019. So the beautiful thing about Skins is that literally I think about 5 people came out of there and were in like Oscar nominated films. They all became wildly successful. Like Anwar is Dev Patel. He was in Lion. He was in Slumdog Millionaire. You get Nicholas Holt, who was already in About a Boy. You get and this is a fun one. Daniel Kaluuya was in Skins.
What?
Yeah, he was in Skins. Yeah. He was a background character. He wasn't like a main character, but he was always sense. He was with them as they did random stuff. He was in it. And then you're going to notice 2 people from Game of Thrones, Hannah Murray and Joe Dempsey, who plays Gendry. Yeah. I stan because Joe Dempsey played Chris in Skins, which was honestly one of the more challenging roles out of all the characters, I believe. And so was Hannah Murray, who also went on to be in Game of Thrones. I think both of them are actually really outstanding actors. And as I'm watching this, I'm realizing the difficulty, the level of difficulty of acting that they're going for. And they're they're kids. They're actually teenagers at this point. I think they're like 18, you know? So they did really fucking good in Skins.
Oh, absolutely. And Kaya Escodelario, she's been in a lot of things since then. She's a great actress, too.
She's a great actress, and she just kind of hasn't, like, broke to the mainstream on this side, you know? I know in the UK she's well known. She's been in a lot
of things. No, here.
Yeah. Really? I mean, I know, I've seen her, like, in, like, B-horror movies and stuff, but, like, I don't think she's, like, in an Oscar-nominated movie.
She was in, like, The Maze Runner.
Really? Yeah. I never saw that.
Yeah. I never saw it. Oh, well, did I see it? I don't know. And then she starred in that Crawl movie, or, like, that just came out. I don't know that it did well, but okay. It was a... big like American. She's done mostly American things from what I've seen.
She's done a lot of stuff since then. Like her career is like she's made in films for sure, but she's not been at the same level as like Dev Patel.
Oh, Dev Patel, he's killing it.
Yeah, no one's on that level right now, because his acting is just fucking, he's killing the whole fucking game.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things I noticed about Skins, and I don't know if you noticed it back when you watched it, is that it's actually like diverse for a show from 2007.
Yeah, like, you know, the first season's probably the whitest. The first two seasons. You know, actually, of the main characters.
I wouldn't... Not really, though. That's the thing. Like, it didn't feel that white, honestly. I know there was, like, white characters, but, like...
Because the only non-white main character was Dev Patel.
No. There was the young lady who was the oboe, the clarinet player. She's the one that fell in love with Chris.
Oh, the first shit. Two, yeah. You're
she's,
right.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Remember, yeah, yeah, her dad's like a rapper and like.
Okay, yeah, so it looks so like there two is... out of like six or something. Or eight?
Two out of six.
Eight? Yeah. I forget.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a black woman, a black young teenager. She plays clarinet. She's actually amazing, excellent. She isn't doing all the stupid, crazy shit the rest of them are because she's more mature, she's more put together.
Yeah, maybe that's what I don't remember. She was like the most put together one.
She was the most calm one. She was the calm one out of all of them. She had her own shit, right? But like everyone did. That's the beauty of Skins. Dev Patel, what I loved about both Dev Patel and her characters, they weren't stereotypes. And neither, like, Dev Patel was like a Muslim boy, but he was also like pre-fuck boy, you know, like he was very religious, but at the same time he was like obsessed with girls and like just wanted to be cool, and he actually kind of was cool, honestly. He wasn't like a joke, he wasn't a caricature of himself. There were so many times where I felt like they could have made like Muslim jokes and they didn't. Like even when they did, they like rejected the notion of that Muslim joke, which I thought was very cool and very rare. So in 2007 in the UK, right? That's mad wild. And then the rest of the characters are white, of course, but there's like one gay character who they kind of de-gayed. They kind of didn't really, they did really bad with like queer representation as an entire whole, the show. The show sucked at that.
The first two seasons. In particular.
They had a queer character, but he was like caricature, which I don't mind because he's a cis white blonde dude. Like, okay. But if you can't be the only gay guy you have and then that you treat him like this, like, that's bullshit.
But like you were saying, like, since it was so long ago, this was before a time when every show had a token gay character. This is a time when even seeing him, I got really excited. Like, these days, it takes a lot for me to get excited about any character, period, no matter who they are. But even back in the day, a white cis gay boy from the UK was like, oh, this is so cool. I can't believe I'm seeing this on TV. I remember I used to, like, actually get excited about that.
That was revolutionary in 2007. That's wild. Like, think about that.
It was important. Yeah.
It's hella important. First two seasons of Skins are going to be the best seasons.
According to some. Even though they were the least...
No, well, I'll tell you why I don't agree.
Go on.
I'll tell you why, because, the other seasons. The first two seasons are going to be the best to me objectively, right? Because, okay, according to my opinion, subjectively.
I was like, objectively, yeah. I don't think that's right.
Well, yeah, correct. Subjectively, according to me, the first two seasons are going to be the better seasons just because, not on gay shit though, like their gay representation in the first two seasons is fucking awful, non-existent, and not a real thing. But Skins was more than just the first two seasons. Sadly, it kept going for some reason, but God bless it.
But
you know,
it's kind of weird. I don't know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like, mm-hmm. I think it's worth mentioning for those who haven't seen it that how it split up, which is every two seasons, everything kind of changes.
Yeah, every two seasons they change the story. It's different characters, different challenges, different stories, which I think is very cool. I think that's very interesting. I like that they're starting them off at like 16 to 18 till they graduate, and then they new batch of kids. So in the second batch of kids, Kaya
Scodelario, yeah, Effie, she was Effie. Way younger. She was a younger sister of one of the main characters of the first two seasons. So she graduates and goes on to be a main character, basically.
Yeah, and she speaks a little more than she did the first two seasons. Yeah. I won't say there's a lot of dialogue coming from her or women in general. That manic pixie girl thing is definitely the first two seasons of Skins. The third and fourth season for queer representation got extremely better. The writing as a whole for the rest of the characters was a mess. I tried to rewatch season 3 and 4 of Skins, and it was bad. It was very bad. And I'm talking about writing and just, like, what are they doing? Because by season 3 and 4, I think they literally ran out of ideas. And every character felt like a checkbox of, like, oh, we have the gay girl. Oh, we have the autistic dude. We have, you know, the racially ambiguous lead who's cool. You know, like, it felt like they're checking a box, right? So that's what kind of turned me off about the rest of Skins, is it felt very like, okay, we got this, we got that, we got the queer bait story. And I mean, the queer love story in season 3 and 4 is what made us probably most excited, and what everyone was standing, all the little queer folk, queer little girls were standing like Emily and Naomi back in 2010. And it was because of Skins that we got to see and ship something. You know, period. Like, there was nothing out there, you guys. Nothing for us. Like, this was our bare minimum representation. And when looking back on it now, it did not age well. It was mad shitty. Like, their storyline was horrible looking back on it. But, yo, in 2010, yeah, this shit was revolutionary. Like, this was, like, counting down to watch Skins. Because I want to know if, you know, Emily and Naomi would, like, look at each other, you know? Because we had absolute shit. This was it. And we made the most of it. It really meant a lot to us. Back into the queer canon of 2010, this was all we had, sadly.
Yeah, the second generation, I don't know what it is. Like, maybe it was because that second generation was what was currently airing and what was current when I started watching the show. But that same second generation, yeah, which is seasons 3 and 4, is what I'm most connected to. And of course, it was like largely in part to the fact that they gave so much attention to two women being like head over heels in love, but struggling with that, and having a plot line in general, like, and not being like this like side thing that sort of happens with no context, jokes, or caricature. Like, to me, it was like the first time that I'd seen two young queer teenage girls being taken seriously in a plot line for a TV show, or at least the first that I can remember. I just thought it was just so much better than anything I'd ever gotten before.
It was.
And at this point, like, we've gotten to a point where we have more things, and a lot of them are better. But that one was just, it was wild, and it was just, at the time, it was just, like, so out there. I loved it. I don't know. And I felt connected to some of the other characters who were very, very self-destructive. Cook, who's so self-destructive, so, like, Cook. Wild, so, like, always needing something. And I related to that a little bit, too.
No, yeah, and, like, there's so many characters that you can take from Skins generation 1 and 2, and you can completely like pick up and take and put in Euphoria, and just they're a lot darker. Because the thing about Skins is that Skins has always been a little bit kind of lighthearted.
It's a comedy. There's
jokes.
It's a comedy.
It's like dramedy. Yeah.
Yeah, it has a lot of comedic elements there, for sure.
Yes, like and it makes it more bearable. It's not quite as heavy or stylistic as Euphoria, but I think what makes it so brilliant is the fact that we had never seen that shit. 2010 was a different time, guys. Like, our phones don't do the things they did now. Like, we still had, like, Blackberries in 2010. Like, that's 2007 when the first Skins came out. Everyone had a razor. Like, that's just to tell you, like, things were different.
Right, in the show, they have flip phones, like.
Yes. Like, it's mad wild. Like, they have to, like, text each other by pressing buttons several times. And so, like, it was a different time back then. And to see people living wild. Like, I wasn't like that except in college, right? So this is when I saw myself. But, like, season 3 and 4 of Skins at least had queer representation. And it was mind-blowing for us queer folk. Like, y'all have no understanding. Like, y'all can't fathom it because you're not, like, I hope and pray that that's not your representation, that y'all had something better than we did, because that kind of sucks looking back on it. Because there was, like, this whole suicide plot with queer, like, the lesbians, and I just, it was...
Basically, if you watch season 3 and 4 and you really like Emily and Naomi, don't continue watching the shit that came after. That's my main advice.
Let's talk about the shit that came after, though. Okay, so...
The least, my likes, real... just to end it off, because we completely skipped Generation 3, the third generation, which is seasons 5 and 6, that's when it was really over. It was like, you guys just lost it. You lost the spark.
The writers didn't even care anymore. They had a character that was mask of center and probably not genderqueer, right? There was a genderqueer mask of center character who didn't have a, like, sexual preference, and they had so much potential to actually just continue writing the character in the same way. Their name was Frankie, and season 5 of Skins was, like, kind of mind-blowing because I was finally seeing someone who I could relate to. I was like, mask of sender, genderqueer person? Like, whoa, I feel seen. They're dapper as fuck. They're getting bullied this entire time. That felt realistic. And then come season 6, and they completely changed that character, and suddenly she's, like, a thought? I was mad confused. I was like, how you go from being, like, dapper and having, like, a lot of baggage to just being a thought with baggage? Like, it's like they completely wrote a different character, and, like, everyone was excited about Frankie because we were all, like, the queers were, like, claiming them. They were like, Frankie's for us.
And they super, and then come season 6, them with Minnie McGinnis,
with
the adorable Scottish woman or girl.
Minnie and Frankie were, like, the ship that sailed, like,
that could have sailed
five, they could have been. It could have said, it didn't even leave the bay.
Like, everybody prepared the ship. We got sailors. And then they were like, oh, we have nowhere to go. We're just going to go back to Hetero Town.
Yeah, go back to Hetero Town and let's force these characters to be straight. And it was like the worst use of, like, chemistry between two actors. And, like, even the actors were doing interviews together talking about Minnie and Frankie as a couple. And then come season 6 and none of that happened, and fuck Skins forever for that, because it would have been really, really good. Because I feel like, again, they were checking this box of, like, oh, we already did the gay girls. We already did the pregnancy storyline. Well, let's force that one again instead of the gays. And I think they literally said that they were like, oh, well, lesbians, we already did that. We got to change it up. And I'm like, really? But pregnancy? Let's do that one again? Like, I'm confused. So, fuck Skins for that, and rewatching it is mad problematic. There's this, like, crazy male gaze in the first 2 seasons that, like, it's gross, dude. Like, they're, like, zooming in on, like, the crotch of, like, teenage girls, and I was like, I don't really need this right now. I'm too old for this bullshit. Like, this is nasty. So
Skins was wild, then, but it's definitely, like, it had to be a precursor. Oh, no. Like, something like that had to exist for like, new shit to, like, spawn off of it, right? Like, in my eyes.
Oh, dude, like, yeah, like, Skins had to walk, so, like,
there's
Euphoria
could fly. Yeah, like,
that's the only way.
Like, the UK was doing a lot of really interesting things in television, perhaps not in quality, necessarily, not artistically, but in content, it was, like, pushing the limits of TV in a lot of ways. The Misfits... Oh. That was another example of Skins,
Misfits?
Which America tried to remake Skins and completely fucked it over. Like, how do you fuck over a show that's already fucked over? I don't know, but they did it. God. And, like, The Office, for even in, like, the comedy sector, like, they did a lot of cool things that America then, I think, kind of took and eventually did better.
Yo, Channel 4 in the UK has been doing, like, wild shit for a minute. Like, they did Dates, they did, I loved Fresh Meat, like you said, Misfits, This Is Britain was amazing. Like, post Skins, everything got more edgy and dark in the UK, and honestly, they were making the best shit. I wasn't watching any American anything. I was like, if it's a drama, I'm watching Channel 4 from the UK on Put Locker. Shout out to Put Locker.
Yeah, so that was good shit. But, yeah. But I mean, obviously, looking, if you take it from a perspective of looking back at it, you probably have a different rating to what your rating was when you watched it originally. So what are those two ratings from you?
Oh, fuck. So originally, right, like season 1 and 2, 5 banzutas, season 3 and 4,
I mean four, not four, that and, right, sorry, 5 and 6,
but as a whole,
yeah,
well, 5 and
yeah.
6 sucks. Like, they can just, those don't exist. It's like season 6 of the L Word, doesn't exist, never happened. Bad. But if I'm gonna rate Skins now, fuck, I don't not counting season 5 and 6 or 7 even, because they did a 7th season to just catch up, which on characters trash. We actually liked. Weird, didn't need it. But if I could rate Skins just 1 through 4, I would give it maybe like a 3 to 4 pandulces. Well, now, if I'm being honest, like 3 pandulces, just because of the male gaze. Gross. Literally creating the manic pixie girl dream out of Cassie. They get all their points for being diverse and for not being caricatures, and for the male white lead being a sociopath, and we see that, and we get to see him completely break down his character and not be a sociopath anymore, which I thought was very dope. So and again, there's so many parallels. Like, this literally walked so Euphoria could fly. Like, it's just, what would you give it?
I would probably,
if now, you had to now. Yeah, that's the hard one, right? That's
what Emily
the hard
and
part.
Naomi did for me, like,
oh, they're 5 panduses.
Like, what they did for me as in that time, I would say 5. Like, no cafecitos for them.
Mm-hmm. But looking at it now as a whole,
I haven't seen it again, so I guess I can't truly judge. But looking back at like what it could, I don't know, I just haven't rewatched it, so I can't really say. I just know that Emily and Naomi's storyline in seasons 3 and 4 were special to me. I don't like the way they ended up, so I would like rate them in the dirt when it came to ending the series, and when it came, yeah, like in their little spin-off
it
thing
was,
it was trash.
Absolute trash, yeah,
but excellent, yeah, actors that I'm super stoked on.
Oh yeah, they were amazing. And I mean, we know what they did in that time to us when there was nothing. This was like Glee was on, you know, like Glee and Skins. That's a weird time, yeah. But it was, they were both on, and that's all we had.
For sure.
So yeah, I'm really excited, you know, speaking of Skins, and then just picking it up and putting it down, and then you get edgy, more intense, better written, better shot Euphoria.
It's a whole ass different generation, yeah.
Yeah, completely different. Generation Z instead of, like, millennials.
Right, but pretty much, like, a 15 years later thing. Or how many? 13? 12? 10? Let's just say 10.
10 years later.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this, too. Okay, so HBO's Euphoria. It just came out in July. No, June. And by July, it was already renewed for second season, unsurprisingly. This show kind of, like, it was one of those shows, I think when we talked about it before, I was like, this sounds amazing, this sounds great, we love Zendaya, and we were like, what, you know, so many things could go wrong, though. I remember being like a little bit like, this is too good to be true.
It's because, like, Drake was the producer, so we were like, how involved is he in this process?
Yeah, exactly. But he did, like, help put it on air, but it was created by Sam Levinson. He's this Jewish guy with a family history in Hollywood, so a little nepo in there,
a little nepotism. Shout out to nepotism, I guess.
But it's based on an Israeli miniseries of the same name with a similar concept, so Gen Z kids doing bad stuff. And yeah, and Sam used his own experiences to inform, like, a lot of the content for the series, including his own struggles with drug addiction. So I thought that was super interesting, because that's, like, that's Rue is the main character, played by Zendaya, and that's, like, a big part of her storyline.
Beautifully written. Mm-hmm. Beautifully written, shout out to him.
And, like, one of the Zendaya is one of the few Disney stars to like remain well adjusted after becoming an adult, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, like I said, she is a recovering drug addict who falls for someone. I'm not gonna say who yet. Gonna keep it spoiler free for a little bit longer.
For a little bit.
And then I'll warn you when we go into spoiler territory. But it's more than worth mentioning that she's a black woman in a role as a teenage girl who's also queer. And those three major identities are not all that she is. Like, she's more than that. And it's beautiful. So, just throwing that out there.
She's containing multitudes. She's poetic. We love it.
Amazing.
Well written.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound weird, but it might just be because this other show has been on my mind and on my radar. I think, like, the next season for it comes out tomorrow after this episode airs. But the structure of Euphoria has a lot of similarities, not just to Skins, but to 13 Reasons Why.
Oh, shit. Because
it has its, like, main character, who's Rue, but it also, in each following episode from other than, like, the pilot, it focuses or gives the backstory of a different character and kind of goes into their story and how they fit into the puzzle. And, yeah, so it's, I don't know, I saw similarities there, and I'll argue for it a little bit more, probably.
No, yeah, I see it too. Like, every episode, it kind of follows that Skins thing, you know? Like, that Skins
model. Yeah, Skins does it too. The only reason that I guess I think it's... I feel like I had an argument for why it was more 13 Reasons Why.
Oh, is it because, like, Rue's, like, the narrator?
No, it's more like... I guess because Skins doesn't have a singular... Usually doesn't have a singular main character as heavily as 13 Reasons Why and Euphoria does. Like, it not only does it change every with each generation that comes, but like, it's not so focused. Like, I guess you could argue that Effie's a main character in Skins sometimes, but Tony, not always. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know, that's just my, I guess that's one of the main differences that I see. So when I say that the show is about Generation Z, like, I feel like it's implied that that means that there is going to be diversity in gender, sexuality, race. And surprisingly for me, and very excitingly for me, there's diversity in size. So, like, not that much, but, like, some.
Oh, yeah. That's like, something Skins didn't have. Yeah.
Right. Obviously, most of the characters are, like, these beautiful, skinny people. But, you know, it's television. But we were still fucking fed by this series.
Like, yes,
to kind of like close off my non-spoilery portion of my recommendation of Euphoria, which I do recommend to go see it on HBO immediately. Like, and I will mention this, the spoilery portion isn't going to be like completely spoilery. I'm not going to be like, this is what happens. Like, I'm just going to talk about some like key points. But basically, this show has like representation of queer people, and it doesn't center coming out as trans representation, and it lets a young girl be flawed and layered and beautiful. It highlights toxic how toxic masculinity can be and how trauma is generational. And then another cute little representation of how drug dealers aren't like always the bad guys. and it follows like a fat girl who learns to like own that shit and takes over our hearts and our souls.
And my soul
in particular. And there's like so many girls in this that are dealing with all this like pressure from society and from boys and parents who are still individuals and really interesting people, but you know, all these women are affected in these sometimes traumatic ways, and it portrays that in a really interesting way. So that's pretty much the end of like the not completely not
spoilery. Let's get to spoiling.
Not like bad spoiling, it's just gonna be talking about,
we're gonna be fangirling show
that you don't know off the bat, like, you know. But we already kind of talked about Zendaya's character. Zendaya is like, she is recovering, she just got out of rehab basically towards the beginning of this show, but you can tell she's not like that dedicated to like being getting sober. Over it. Mm-hmm. But you know, you get to know her, and she does narrate. I think a lot of people in like the film and TV communities, they have a lot of judgment towards that style because it's like a narrator's telling you what you need to know instead of, and people consider that the lazy way out because they're like,
damn,
you know, they do. They're like, you know, show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to know. Not, don't just say it. But it did allow for them to like do a lot of really interesting things visually because you're not wasting time, you know, like forcing people to know things visually. You're just like giving them what you want to give them. So it kind of, I think it just depends. I think it's unfair to like have all these rules. I don't like the rules.
Well, like, I understand Rue's like why a they exist. Unreliable narrator anyways, like, not to interrupt
you think
you,
so
yeah, she's totally an unreliable narrator. Like, I feel like she's even lying to us, and I think that's kind of the beauty of this, is that as it goes, the lie kind of reveals itself, like the things she says she cares, or the things she omits, or the things we're actually kind of picking up on. So
I think maybe there's something to that, where the things she omits, but it also has to do a lot with just like storytelling. Some of the other characters, let's get into the other characters, because Zendaya ties into all these people for the most part. There's, I guess, one of the big evil villains of this is Cal Jacobs. Sorry, not Cal Jacobs, Nate Jacobs.
Yeah,
his father is Cal Jacobs.
He's kind of a villain too.
He's pretty much like the embodiment of like white male cis privilege. And like, just an absolutely terrifying thing. You see that? He's terrifying. Like, the dude wilds the fuck out, and like, just his mindset, that all like stem from his dad, who also like internalized a lot of like heteronormative things that fucked him up. And this is like a cycle of abuse, a cycle of fuck upness. It's highlighted very, very like obviously in this show. And it takes some wild twists and turns. So Nate Jacobs, he's like the big villain, I would say, of the show.
He's like the embodiment of like you said, all white toxic cis masculinity, like
white supremacy,
or like really internalized homophobia.
And I feel like a lot of it is like to do with like being a man, you know, like all this shit, like
machismo.
It's toxic masculinity, like. Like on crack, I don't know.
On crack, yes, dude. Unmedicated to the gods, like,
yeah. But it's pretty obvious that like he has some like sexual insecurities and shit like that. But he's connected to a number of girls. One of them being Maddie Perez,
yay,
his on again, off again girlfriend. Like from the looks of it, at the beginning, you get the vibe of like these two people fucking hate each other, like. They fucking hate each other. They have like they're like the line between love and hate with these two is wild. But you know, Maddie is like this girl who like wants to be like super comfortable and like sexual in her appearance and like do whatever she wants with her body, which she should be able to do. And he's like, no, fuck that.
That guy, you can't dress like that.
Yeah, he's
policing her body,
like, yeah, all the time, and it's pretty gross. And they kind of really get into like the mindset of like, because people always wonder, they're always like, oh, how could this girl like let this guy treat him like this and blah blah, like people are always kind of like finding a way to put the blame on the girl. And this show kind of gets into it, like, look at how he's manipulating her, like look at why she's thinking this way, look at like she has like a really interesting scene where her parents get involved and she's like, is this any better? And she judges upon her parents' marriage, which is, like, wild, because it's, like, I don't know. That one really hit close to home. I was like, dude, fucking drags the straights. But it brings up, like, a lot of important points. There's, like, a common theme in the show Euphoria is that, like, all these things that are considered bad and toxic and looked down on by other generations other than Gen Z, like, sending nudes, like, sex tapes, like, anything to do with sex or anything that, like, anything abusive or, like, drugs and all these things, it, like, shows the flip side of it, shows the mindset of the people that are in it, as opposed to, like, seeing it from a point of view of, like, this is bad, and that's it. Like, they show the whole process of, like, why these things came to be in the first place. Like, it wasn't as simple as like, oh, that's a bad thing, I want to do it, you know.
Damn.
So same thing with, I think, one of our favorite characters for a number of reasons, which is Kat Hernandez.
Kat. Where'd you get
our local white Latina Barbie Ferreira. She's described as a body conscious teen exploring her sexuality. But really, she's just this girl who like hangs out with, and I can relate hard to this, she hangs out with these like skinny pretty bitches who are like cheerleaders and shit. And Like, she's kind of just like, just like your regular schmegular schoolgirl doing her thing. And then one day she realizes, she's like, I got a power.
And I have a body.
I'm going to use it. Yeah, exactly. So it was just wild to see where that storyline was going, because it could have very easily spiraled. And I've seen this trope time and time again in TV, and like in particular, where the girl like fucking Take Insatiable, for example, like she's mad that people treated her like shit for being fat or whatever. So she turns into like a horrible person. But I would argue that Kat Hernandez doesn't do that. She does do some things that a lot of people would say are questionable, but she's getting her money in her own terms.
Why? I mean, I would hope that she would wait and everyone else would wait till they're of legal age. Please do. She's a child.
A lot of people in this show are doing a lot of illegal things.
It's... But, you know, just saying, like, no judgment to sex workers, but please be 18.
like, please be an adult.
Yes. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, she... And they, it's not like they spend the whole time pretending that what she goes on to do, I'm not going to say exactly what she goes on to do, but they don't spend the entirety of the show saying, like, this is okay, like, it's completely empowering. Like, they show the dangers of it, especially towards the end. Like, all of these things are, like, at one point they're like, this is how they got on the road to do these terrible things, and these are the consequences, you know?
So... No, like, I'm hyped. Like, I'm really surprised what they did at the end with her, just because they really could have made it some kind of, like, misery thing, and instead it became joy, which is, like, out of everyone's story, I think hers is the only one that, like, brought me actual joy. And that's rare on a show that's, it's, you know, this kind of show, the Skins-esque show, someone gets to be happy, but, I mean, I guess they experience a lot of pain first.
Yeah, I mean, everybody goes through shit. I hope that they don't stop there. I hope that they don't, like, make it, like, oh, the Prince Charming came along, and that's all that was necessary. Like,
No.
At least that's my hope, because Barbie Ferreira is, like, just taking the world by storm. Everybody's in love with her. Like, everybody.
She's beautiful and amazing and extremely talented. Like, I stand.
Yeah. And I'm going to harp on her a little bit longer, because I just remembered one of my favorite things about this show is that it brings up all these, like, really, like, borderline millennial Gen Z things, with things like Tumblr, fan fiction, like all these things that to people who aren't, you know, used to or well versed in those things, like our parents, they'd be like, what the fuck is this? This is terrible writing. Who cares about this? Nobody knows about these random things. Like, we know about these things. We know about these things a lot.
Yeah.
So it was super interesting to see them interweave all these super, like, 21st century things. I don't know.
No, I'm obsessed with what she does in her free time, because she's proving to be the most interesting character to me, because of the level of depth they give into, like, her, and her, like, actual intellect is, like, a real topic, like a thing people talk about and know. The bitch is smart. Like, I don't know. We're all in love with her character and her, honestly. So that was amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about, like, two more girls in the show, and then I'm going to get to our main girl. But there's also Sydney Sweeney, who plays Cassie. Oh,
Cassie.
She is, she's a girl that, like, has a rough past. And in that, I say that, like, people spread a lot of rumors about her and say a lot of shit about her because of, like, certain pictures and videos that were taken. And she's literally just trying to, like, find somebody that, like, loves and respects her. I don't know. I think she's an interesting character, too. I think they have a long way to go with that character, too. But I love Sydney Sweeney, the actress. I liked her on...
Everything Sucks.
Everything Sucks, yes.
And
so good.
She was in Sharp Objects, briefly.
Mm-hmm. So right. I'm else, too, but I can't remember what it was. But I like her as an actress, so I'm excited to see more.
Yeah, anything we get to see her in, she's extremely talented. I like her character because I feel like there's, like, an innocence to her character that she's an amazing actress. She's played three very different people every time, and this person she's portraying is extremely, like, sweet and soft and, like,
kind, and the horse the whole storyline with her and Lexi's father is wild. Mm-hmm. And then you can see a little bit of why Cassie is the way that she is and why she's so willing and wanting to fall in love, and I think that's mad wild.
Yeah. So there's also Lexi, who is
Lexi
probably like the least, the person with like, she doesn't have very much storyline. She is Cassie's younger sister. She's played by Maude Apatow. She was kind of another Nepo casting here, but
yeah, it's Judd Apatow's daughter,
right? And they kind of wrote this role just for her, like that's what was said in
wait, what?
Yeah, they just wrote this role for her, and this is actually interesting. I was reading about Sam Levinson's decisions here, and mm-hmm. basically in this interview with I think Hollywood Reporter, he talks about how both Fezco, who's a drug dealer, and Lexi, they're gonna have a lot more attention and more storyline in the second season. And
fan this was favorites. Already planned.
Yeah, they're fan favorites. Like everybody loves them, and it might have a lot to do with the fact that it's like a lot was left to like a mysterious, I guess. Like, or they were left wanting more because they didn't give a whole lot of information on either of them. But yeah, I think he has stories for them. He has plots for them. It's just that they were not a first season plot. So we're gonna get more information on them, and I'm really stoked on that. And it's like I said,
love them. They're the best. Yeah,
so great. But yeah, so that one of the things that he mentioned on that was that like he just wrote Lexi to have Maude on the show, which kind of explains why she didn't completely fit into the puzzle.
Not yet. Yeah.
Not yet. She will.
That we know of.
Right. Like so far, not so much. So finally, Hunter Schafer, love of my life, plays Jules Vaughn, who is a trans girl who pretty quickly befriends Rue after moving into town. And she is like kind of a brand new iteration of the manic pixie girl that you were talking about earlier.
Yep, she's the new Cassie.
Kind of. She's very like, you know, bright, wears a lot of bright colors. She's always on her bike. She's a little bit elusive. Rue is just like constantly trying to hang on to that, you know. But she catches Rue's attention. They become BFFs like really quickly. Like they meet one night and like literally spend the night with each other, like as friends or whatever. Which I'm like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Jules? Well, at the first night. But yeah, Jules reminded me a lot of girls that I've known in my past. Yeah. So in general, her storyline was very hurtful for me.
Weeping.
I was a little burned. I don't know how else to explain it. It was kind of like,
that is your type, though. It makes
it was
so
like a
sense.
Sore subject to me. I was like, oh.
The Sailor Moon types.
Not even like in that style, and more the way that their actions, like the way that they're like, oh, like I'm all in, and then they're all out, that type of thing, you know.
Hot cold.
Yeah. So Jules, like I'm excited about the character because it's like a girl who, until like the third episode, doesn't even say she's trans, and nobody ever talks about her being trans, really.
It's not a really thing.
Right, other than like an abusive douchey guy.
Ugh.
And like she does go through some shit. This whole show is a whole ass trigger warning because
yes, it is.
There's so much that goes on in this show that's really hard to watch. And I think that the show, the crew, the creators, the cast, everybody tried to do their part from what I saw in telling everybody, like, this show's hard to watch. Don't watch it if you can't stand to see these things. List A through Z, because there's so much.
That list is long.
Yeah. So even Zendaya was, like, tweeting about it, like, this is hard to watch. So, and it's true. There's a lot of traumatic things that happens to, I would say, almost every single character except maybe like Lexi, like maybe
even not then really.
I don't know. Anyways,
yeah, Cassie was there, so I guess it wasn't as bad because Lexi wasn't witnessing what Cassie was, So yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just maybe. But anyways, the point is that like it's hard to watch. So I forgot. So Jules is not like gonna be an exception to this. Me and you talk a lot about like not wanting to see queer pain. Like trans pain is another thing that we've talked about, where it's like a whole story based around tragedy. I would say that Jules doesn't remain that. Like Jules, even though she goes through some crazy shit when she's first introduced, she also then gets to be just a normal kid, normal Gen Z kid, which is not that normal.
They wrote her character to have like an actual personality. She wasn't just a victim. She's like,
and Hunter helped with that. Hunter talked about like helping plug in some of the holes of these stories with her. Like she was like, helped make her a more well-rounded character, and I think that's something that Hunter's a lot amazing. Of people have been doing.
She's right, so like wow.
In Pose, like, they've been doing things like that, and with mm-hmm. Tangerine, they did something like that. It's a good idea, especially like when you yourself are not a part of that community. Bam. Problem solved by hiring like an actual trans person to be a trans person. You're like, work. Your problem is solved. I mean,
problem fucking solved.
But moving on from the characters, those are the characters. Their storylines are crazy. I don't want to spoil them, but just let me tell you, every week was a roller coaster. Every Sunday was a wild ride.
It was very trippy too.
Yeah, visually, it's a stunning show.
And can really we talk great. About one visual scene just because I stand that one scene?
Yeah, okay? We can talk about a couple of them if you want. It's just TV's come so far. Like the quality is amazing. Like right now I'm rewatching House, like I said. Trash mm-hmm. in comparison to Euphoria. Like doesn't even compare.
There's that one scene between
that Jules, goes down in history forever.
Jules
yeah.
and Zendaya. That's cinematic motherfucking art.
Cinematography.
That's hilarious. Yeah, like if y'all could like replay something at my funeral other than like Meg the Stallion twerking to a flute, like I also would want this fucking scene playing. Like I want you to project this scene onto my tomb. And then I want everybody to just fall in love. That's it. That's what I want. That's how I want to
die. It's beautiful. Like it's a cycle. It like, goes round and round, and it goes into like
this music too, like yeah, this Italian score in the background. What the fuck? I was like,
play they basically try funeral. To visualize or show the visualize of like the like in somebody's mind it clicking that this other person is for them, or this other person is like that this connection. I don't know, like the puzzle falls into place.
Yes,
and like all these moments, and yeah,
that's how your heart feels.
It's gorgeous. I wish I could remember the exact episode. It's one of the later episodes, maybe like episode 6.
It was the carnival five. One, I think, or the one after.
Yeah,
carnival one.
It
carnival
was one after the end of it. It's a beautiful thing. We'll see if we can like link it somewhere, but it's a visually stunning scene, and the whole show kind of is.
Yeah, like when Rue's high off her ass at the party, I think it's episode 1, you see the walls start flipping.
Walking on the roof.
She starts walking on the floor, on the side of the wall. Like, it's incredible because, like, you kind of, when you're high, it can feel that way, you know? So it's mm-hmm. just, it was very well done. Like, he really fucking thought about this when he fucking directed this, whoever was in charge of those visuals. Amazing.
A lot of people were being kind of judgmental, and they were upset about the ending, like the very last scene. A lot of people described it as a glorified music video, and amongst other things.
Yeah. I think
so. The explanation for the ending, kind of, which provided by Sam Levinson, the creator, it requires a little bit of spoiling. So I'm gonna take like the next 2 minutes to discuss that. So anybody that doesn't
spoiler alert,
know,
y'all.
Anybody that doesn't want to know what happens in this can skip the next 2 minutes, in which I'm going to speak about it. So, yeah, starting now. So, Rue, at the end of it, she relapses after a few months of being sober. And one of the big reasons she got sober to begin with was because of Jules, who she just sent away. So this crutch is gone, and she spirals. So Levinson talks about how he wanted to do a musical number earlier in the season, but he ended up changing it to the end for a number of reasons, including he wanted to find a way to creatively portray the madness and the beauty of what it's like to relapse. And I think it was like really hard for him to show it without going to this extremely dark place.
Yeah.
So turning it into a musical number was one way to kind of get around that. And I think it was kind of clever because he was kind of, to him, it was like, you know, one stone, two birds type of thing. I have a lot of respect for the ending and for the approach. Personally, I hate musical numbers in television. Like, I cannot stand them. So my eyes either like glaze over or they roll incessantly. But I still respect it and I get why he did it. Like, I saw like what he meant by that. Like, he did try to put like a lot of metaphors into each of the things that were going on in the scenes, like her falling into these crowds, like all these things meant something, and like the way that she fell into them, and you know, like it wasn't nothing, even though it was like technically a way to get Zendaya singing on the screen.
Yeah. He said he wanted to hear her sing since she was in that last movie.
Yeah. But they did like the song. They wanted to use that song and they ended up revising some of the lyrics to fit the show, which is cool. So I don't know. I have some respect for it. I get why people don't like it though.
No, yeah, because any song, any musical number, when it feels like not a musical show, it can be completely out of place and like,
I don't distracting. Like that
yeah, I don't like just, it. It can be cheesy too, but it right. wasn't, oddly enough.
For some people, yeah. Other people like, well, like, what the fuck is this music video bullshit? Yeah.
I mean, at first, the first like 10 seconds, I'm like, turn this shit off. This is stupid. And then I was like, okay, all right, fine. I'm here.
Yeah. So. I was here for it. But overall, I would say like no castitos for this show. This show kind of took me on a wild ride, and I'm really, really looking forward to season two.
Cannot wait to see what in the world they're going to end up doing with Lexi and Fez. I'm team Fez and team Lexi yeah. being happy. And I only ship Rue with her sobriety.
I know.
Jules broke my heart. And then Lexi, I don't know what they're going to do with her. Honestly, they could take it anyway. But I ship Rue and Lexi so hard.
I want Rue to find happiness.
Yeah.
I love her.
I want her to be sober.
Yeah.
But yeah, 5 fucking banduses for Euphoria. I'm obsessed. And I'm probably going to rewatch it at some point. Because I thought that those fucking shots, I can't get over them.
So good. And I saw like a bunch of tweets post Euphoria where people were like, hopefully in season 2, Rue finds some black friends. That'd be cool.
Dude, I saw that. I fucking saw that. That's
I died. Crazy. I was like, that's true. White people be tripping.
Yeah, there was a lot of fucking white people in the show.
Yeah. So yeah, spoilery session over. I loved Euphoria now and I loved Skins back then, so I'm glad that we covered these subjects.
Yes. God bless you if you watch Skins. Like bless. When it came out. Like bless. Cause that's that was a wild ride back in 2010 in those flip phones. Okay, so I had a sidekick. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I might go watch a little Emily and Naomi after this. I don't know.
You're going to watch it and go, really? This is what I did in 2010? And then you're like, this is the ship that sold 1,000 seats. Like, for real?
Fuck it.
No, it's good, though. Watch it.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you guys for listening to another week of rambling. Next week, I believe you're going to get a Patreon episode. Yeah. Gang. And after that, probably something new. And then after that, probably something not new. And it'll go on and on like that for the rest of time.
Forever and ever and ever.
Anywho, go check out our merch, even if you don't want to buy it just yet or whatever, bookmark it, maybe later on you'll want to buy yourself a present. These are fucking cute. There's Concha ones and there's the Cafecito ones, and there's all kinds of styles, and there's stickers and there's mugs and shit.
Yes, go support 2 queer people just trying to make it out here in this world.
Yeah. Just go to Teespring and like search Cabronas y Chingonas. It'll probably take you there. If not, then like I said,
let links us know. Are
everywhere.
We'll figure it out. It's everywhere else. And yeah, support your girls. You know, if you don't want a sweater, buy one for your cousin. Fuck it. Just give it to them. Mm-hmm. Just walk by here. Here's a fucking shirt. I don't know.
And if you want to listen to next week's episode, of course, follow us on patreon.com/CYC podcast. That's where we will post it, as we do every 4th week. And shout out to all our Patreon supporters for sticking around for August. We love you so much.
Thank you so much. Y'all are the reason why I made it out to LA. So shout out to all the Patreon supporters. Love y'all.
See. And of course, please give us a rating and a review. That helps a lot, and it's super free.
Super on iTunes. Free. Free and, 99, y'all.
And tell your friends about us. I know that there's a hole missing in our heart on Thursdays in the shape of Latinos Who Lunch. So hopefully God. We can alleviate it like a little bit.
A small amount? An hour's worth?
See, at least you guys get that because I don't get anything. Like, I'm not going to listen to my own show.
Yeah, we don't listen to our own podcast. Just she edits.
I mean, I have to.
These notes. Yeah, we both kind of have to.
Yeah. Every week. So... Tell your friends. Okay, bye guys.
Bye.